owners of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Oh, so now you're making enemies.
No, I'm not making enemies of any. These are people that it wouldn't matter what I said. Doesn't matter what I say. You know, they got their little feelings hurt somewhere along the line. And, you know, they're doing what they're doing, okay? Now, this other guy I'm talking about is the guy that has broken the law. This is the guy that I'm going to make an example out of, okay? And then there will be others, too. And that guy that runs that fan site where he allowed all those...
Don't even go there, man. You know what? I don't think there's any traffic over there anyway. You know, he went over there one time.
What are you talking about?
There's no real traffic. I mean, they might put a link up and get like 3 people.
Yes, and I think that you are good, but you're not that good, Phil, because it only attracts 3 people.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not got anything to do with me. That has to do with how many people are over there then.
Well, then what are you getting all bent out of shape? You know, why are you getting upset?
I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, relax, you know. Just take a chill pill on the whole deal and chill out.
Yeah. Fine, I'll chill out. All right, anyway, welcome back to the show, 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com. Now, Chef Carl Cedilli is going to join us, and the chef is going to talk with us about the food of the bake-off or something. Man, I don't know what the hell it was that we were going to talk about. Was it cooking or fat or something like that? Chef Cedilli, how you doing, sir?
Bill, I'm very, very excited to be with you here. We're in Philadelphia right now at the Spectrum, as you know, and we're hearing the good things about the bake-off. We're going to be starting tomorrow.
All right, now, okay, so you're there for the bake-off, and this is the Eastern Seaboard Bake-Off, and it is the baking competition for cakes, donuts, things like that?
Yeah, there's nothing, this is going to be strictly for baking. And most of it is a cake competition, so that's chocolate cake. And that's what I'm going to be doing, is a chocolate cake. And it's going to be delicious. And,
now, you've done a lot of these competitions.
We've done half a dozen of them. And my bakery, which is located in San Francisco, and there are bakeries and there are pastry chefs and there are cooks from all over America that are going to be entering the Eastern Seaboard Bake Off tomorrow.
All right, now we have another one of the guys who's going to be competing, Brad Rifkin from Las Vegas, who has the Rifkin Advertising Agency. And Brad is joining us on our newsmaker line as well. Brad, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very good, thank you.
Brad, what are you going to be presenting?
Well, as fate would have it, I think that Carl knows this. We're going to be having a chocolate cake, a 7-layer chocolate cake with whipped cream, swimming in whipped cream with a thick chocolate icing.
That sounds delicious, too, I was telling you.
Well, and what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to make a chocolate cake, but it's always still, it's the difference in the recipe. The recipe is delicious, you know.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll just tell you, we're going to use, for our chocolate cake, we're going to use butter. Butter is it's beautiful. Butter keeps it light and it keeps it fluffy.
Hold on for a minute. Butter keeps it light and fluffy, and what do you say to that, Carl?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, I think that butter is the poor man's root to a good chocolate cake. I love to use lard.
Yeah, I wouldn't use lard.
You wouldn't use lard, and you wouldn't make a good chocolate cake either.
I think I will make a good chocolate cake.
All right, we got Brad Rifkin with us and Chef Carl Cedilli, who will be in the Eastern Seaboard Bake Off tomorrow at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. I didn't know that that was still in existence.
The Spectrum in Philadelphia has been in existence for a long time, yeah. And they have it for antique shows. They had a horse and buggy show. Anything, yeah.
Yeah, usually a flea market or something, but they're going to have the bake-off here, and there's a lot of people here for the bake-off.
So what we're talking about here is a difference in the ingredients. You are relying mostly on butter, and you say that that makes the cake light and fluffy, and you, Carl, rely on lard because you feel that's a more substantial cake?
Yeah, it's more substantial cake. It's thicker, weighs more. And I cannot for the life of me understand why people are not going to use that.
I wanted to jump in here, Phil, because Chef Cedilli and I were in a competition in Miami last spring. And I have to ask him, and I will ask him in front of you, and Carl, you know what you did.
I don't know what I did. I do it as a chocolate cake.
Yeah, I know it was a chocolate cake, but what happened was he lost to Stephen Temple, which was a pastry chef out of Chicago who made a chocolate cake. And you lost for using the lard, and Stephen used butter, and he had a nice, light, fluffy cake.
I lost because Stephen Temple. Stephen Temple, the cake is really bad with flat chocolate enough. But I don't know. I think he had influence with the judges.
He didn't have no influence with the judges. He won fair and square. And what Chef Chedilia did, he just grabbed handfuls of the cake that he had baked and started shoving it down his pants. You remember what you did?
Well, I did, though. I said, I love chocolate cake.
Now, I know you love chocolate cake.
I love chocolate cake. And I said that I felt wronged, and I felt...
Now, let me ask you a question, Chef Chedilia.
Yeah, sir.
You grabbed handfuls of chocolate cake and started shoving it down your pants. That sounds like a guy that's upset.
I was upset, but I was also... I wanted to demonstrate to the judges how much I love chocolate cake. And Stephen Temple got into the competition because there was a cash prize that his brothers of the judges. So
Stephen Temple's brother's one of the judges, but his cake did taste good. It tasted better than yours, you know?
No, it didn't. You know it didn't. You know that my cake tastes good. I use a lard.
No, it doesn't taste good when you use lard.
I can tell you, Carl, lard and shortening in cakes makes it very heavy. I don't like it.
I'm talking professional, and I took a cake, and I think they should have been expecting that, you know?
I don't think they were going to expect a guy getting so upset that he lost the bake-off that he starts shoving big chunks, big handfuls of chocolate cake down into his pants. It was the most demented thing you ever saw, Phil.
No, hold on for a minute, because you don't understand a statement. I said to Stephen, I said to Mary Temple, sir, I love chocolate cake.
He didn't care that you love chocolate cake. It doesn't matter. It wasn't a competition for loving chocolate cake.
I said, I love a chocolate cake. And look at how much I love it. I live it. I'll sit in it. And that's what I said, Phil. I love chocolate cake so much, I'll sit in chocolate cake. Even if it's uncomfortable and it gets way up there, you can imagine how uncomfortable it is to convince them the love of a ham.
Hey, do you have chocolate cake in your mouth right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like...
Give me some milk, man.
Tell me to give you milk? I'm not your boy.
Give me milk.
Here's some milk.
Yeah, awful chocolate cake in my mouth, Phil.
All right, look at you shoved handfuls of chocolate cake into your pants to convince the judges that you love chocolate cake. Is that true?
It's not exactly true, but...
Come on, Jen, Carl, that's exactly what it was.
All right, it's true in essence, yeah, because I felt wrong.
You felt what?
I felt wrong. He says he felt wrong.
All right. Now, what we have is chauvinists, and you're trying to justify this by saying that you love chocolate cake so much that you'll sit in it. Is that what you said?
Yes, but when I said it, it sounded sensible.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it did, but as Mr. Henry is saying it,
I said it to the judge. I said, I'm willing to sit in it. And I believe that I have a convince.
You might have had them convinced, but as you just admitted yourself, when I say it to you now in the stark, cold glare of this radio show, it sounds pretty weird.
You better believe it sounds weird. You say to a guy, I love chocolate cake so much, I know what I said. Well, what did you say?
I said I love chocolate cake. I love it. I love similar chocolate cake so much that I'll sit down into it. I'll sit into a bowl of mix.
So it gets right up there, didn't you?
What is it with this show?
What?
I'll tell you what it is.
What are you talking about?
No, hold on. Every time we get a guest on, it usually winds up this guy's got something up his rear end.
I was going to say something, but I...
No, I don't do it for that prurient reason, you know?
I don't... You know, you may not do it for prurient reasons, but it's a ridiculously silly, dare I say, mentally diseased way of expressing your love for chocolate cake. How about making a good chocolate cake?
I make a damn good chocolate cake. I love a chocolate cake.
Yeah, you make a damn good chocolate cake. Anything... I don't know if you know Chef Giordilli. He's a good chef, but cream, butter... Why don't you use butter with a chocolate cake?
Because butter's not heavy enough for the chocolate cake. Come on, serve it.
God, I don't know. You know, he's disgusting the way he talks, but now I want a chocolate cake because it sounds like you've got it jammed in your throat. And I got a soft kick over here, Lava. Yeah, I'd like a piece. Yeah. All right. Well, Phil, so I said I'll sit down and take bets. And the judge said it'd be okay.
So the judge bought it.
The judge didn't buy it. They remanded him for a psychiatric observation. What do you have to say that? What about your father say that? Come on, they remanded you for 72-hour psychiatric. You know they did. God, this is great cake. Are you using lard with this?
No, this is your cake. I didn't cook this. My cake's over here.
What? Give me, I'll eat my cake. No, you don't have to have my cake. All right, give me some of your cake.
All right. Very good, gentlemen. So what we have here is that you're going inside for 72 hours for observation.
That's right. So right after competition, I'll go in for 72 hours. But then I'm back out again, and I'll have a cake competition in St. Louis. Yeah. We're all set for the St. Louis, the big bake-off in St. Louis as soon as he gets out of the psychiatric receiving center. And,
Boy,
What's wrong?
Well, you know, it doesn't bode well for your profession as a cake chef or...
Call us cake chef. We're pastry chefs, we're baking chefs, you know, that kind of deal.
Okay, that's fine, but, we'll all be set for the bake-off in St. Louis as soon as he gets out of the psychiatric receiving center. Hello?
Lost him.
That's okay.
Well, I want to hear more of the interview. He's going where?
He's going to be in a psychiatric... The judge has said he's got to go inside for 72 hours.
Well, that I understand, but I just wanted to know what that entails. And he's going to be out in time for this other bake-off.
Yes, he'll be out in time for the St. Louis bake-off. Chef Carl Cedilia, along with Brad Rifkin on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Good luck to both of them. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. I'm just looking at our picture. I'm always obsessing over these things, you know, obsessing over the video, obsessing over the audio.
You know, Phil, you're not an engineer. You are taking on far too much. You're taking on the role of a police officer. You're taking on the role of security. You're taking on the role of a technician. You're taking on the role of a video technician. You're taking on the role of... My God, when are you going to just give it over? Give it over to the Lord, Phil. Oh, hold on.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's really getting ridiculous, all right?
Don't you dare yell at me. That's a natural bodily function.
Yeah, you don't do it on a radio. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Okay?
Oh, look at you taking your cue from Dickman.
I'm not taking any cue from Dickman. He happens to know a couple of things. Excuse me, Belch. Weren't we going to talk to Chodilly about this? That's what we were going to talk to him about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, he's going in the nut house, so...
Yeah, he's going in the... Oh, man.
See, there you are laughing. You claim to be...
Well, it's serious, but... By the same token, I asked you, Bud, to get on a chef so we could talk about the effects of certain foods, certain ingredients, certain spices on the stomach's chemistry... Because we know we have biotics, to use your way of speaking, Margaret.
Well, what do you mean, my way of speaking?
You're all going, you go like, biotics, you know?
I do. That is a form of emphasis. I've told you morons that.
God.
Oh, quit acting hurt. I've told you knuckleheads, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, I stress words... Because I want you to remember them, so that when I say, for instance, antibiotics, you see?
Yeah, thanks. You just spit what looks like pastrami.
Yeah, I got a little bit on me, too.
What, so I eat good deli? That's a crime. Oh, boy.
You eat good deli. You're belching up Szechuan. You're spitting pastrami. Last night, you cut a fart.
If there's a God in heaven, I should be able to run you through with a saber and be celebrated for it. Literally be given a parade.
I guess there isn't a God in heaven.
Don't you laugh, damn you. You're talking about God.
Sorry. And I don't know why you want to run me through.
Why? You're bringing up my eating habits, Phil.
You're belching on my show, and Margaret, I don't understand. I guess you think that there is some kind of a new day dawning or something, huh?
What's that supposed to mean?
What it means is you think there's a whole new way of being, of presenting oneself in the broadcast business. You belch, you spit pastrami all over people, you know.
And there you are, just so you bring up some failings of mine and then do a little bit of a giggle.
Yeah, well, it is pretty funny if you think about it.
Well, that will never happen with you, will it?
All right, so, thank you very much, Margaret. God. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. All right, so getting back to what we were doing tonight, which was, I think, some news items and looking at, what's happening. A flight attendant was fired for giving the finger, and she denies that she ever really did give the finger. The flight attendant was fired for a finger in a photo. She actually is fired for the finger, denying that this finger was in the photo, flipping the bird, okay?
Oh.
A flight attendant fired for the finger? Yes, a former Russian stewardess with Aeroflot Airlines.
Well, there's your problem. Phil, don't stare at me like that.
Don't do that! A Russian stewardess with Aeroflot Airlines allegedly flipped the bird at unsuspecting passengers and was later terminated. Apparently, the woman was sacked after her employer got word the obscene photo was posted on a social media site. However, the woman denies the mysterious hand is hers. Monday, the company released a statement. According to the February 6th Telegraph report, that's a British newspaper, Tatiana Kotsenenko continues to blast the reason why her former boss gave her the boot. The flight attendant fired for the middle finger photo claims she is not the person in the picture whose hand is snapped flipping the bird at unwary passengers. The picture in question was posted on Vodka Talks, Russia's equivalent to Facebook, in late 2011.
Right.
That's what it's called.
Well, it can't be any good.
I don't know. It's what Russia uses.
Why do they use...
No, they don't let nobody use Facebook on account of communism.
There ain't no communism in Russia anymore.
What do you do it for?
I don't know. Maybe it's some... You know, what those countries basically did, when I say those countries, China and Russia, as soon as they sort of opened the doors to capitalism and to competing, first thing they did is they started stealing everything. You know, they started ripping off copyrights, they started ripping off patents. China is, like, just shameless, man. They steal everything. And then they resell it to their, you know... billion-and-a-half people market. So it's a lucrative market, and they don't know from, you know... excuse me, you just ripped off... You know, did I ever tell you when I met Matt Groening of The Simpsons? He took me into his office and showed me all the bootleg stuff.
So he didn't mind?
No, he minded, but he got to a point, he's like, look at all this stuff that they... He said, this is... It represents all this stuff that is illegally manufactured. You know, we have the copyright and we have the patent or whatever it is, trademark on Bart Simpson. And he had all these Bart Simpson dolls that were made in Russia, made in China.
Yeah, they make them all a lot of countries where they get away with it. Like in what's the one country we were talking about? Slovenia, right?
Yeah, they make them in places like Slovenia and Slovakia and Slobodovich or something like that. I forget the name of it.
What is it with you guys with Slobodovich?
Well, generally, impoverished countries start with an SL. That's well known.
Not Switzerland. Oh.
Switzerland? SL.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What do you mean that's a given?
It is a given that if you live in a toilet, and I'm sorry for putting it that way, but if you live in a country where you can get your throat cut just going down to the store for a tub of, okay, shortening or lard, the country that you're going to the store in starts with an S and an L.
Well, there's only like two, Slovenia, Slovakia.
Well, Phil, I don't know all of them. I'm sure there are more.
What about Slobodia?
I've never heard of Slobodia.
No, there's no Slobodia, okay?
You don't know.
Yes, I do. There's no Slobodia. And I don't know that it's, if you live in a country where you're going to get your throat cut going down to the store for lard.
Yeah, well, you were the guys that were going on and on about the joys of lard. My God, if you would have kept on going, I would have gotten up and left and called the the FCC because...
Why?
I know where that was going.
Where was it going?
No comment.
You got some mind, Margaret, I'll tell you.
Don't shake your head at me. You're talking about lard. Where else is it going to go?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Talk about jail time?
Yes, jail sex is one area. There are certain heterosexual uses for it.
All right, thank you very much, Margaret. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And then he embarrasses Phil me by going, thank you very much, Margaret.
Our number 877-876-PHIL, and a momentous evening tonight where a citizen has gone from the anonymity of Twitter and the anonymity of his Twitter handle, and he's gone into full flower as a criminal. His name, I blasted it on our feed here off air. I've mentioned his first name. He is employed by the Alabama Air Guard, at least that's the most recent. He's also employed, or has been, he claims, probably most of the stuff that's on his resume is completely made up. He's got a degree, actually, and has a profession, but he wants to be on the radio. He desperately wants to be on the radio, and he wants to do what I do, and he wants to work with me, and I think he wants to be my wife. I got to be honest with you, and I've rejected him on all scores.
Well, how do you know he wants to be your wife?
Because no guy follows another guy like the way this guy follows me unless there's something sexual going on. And nothing against gay people, but if I see this guy, if I actually see him and I recognize him, I'm gonna do some damage to the guy. I'm just telling you right now. I'm going to do physical damage to him, and there's nothing he can do to stop it. I don't care if he's packing. I don't care if he's got guns. It doesn't matter. He doesn't understand. So he's gone. He's crossed over now. He's a criminal. Just like that. And I think what we're going to do is put a call into your parents, John, and see if we can't get them to intercede. Not that it's going to save you from going to jail, but maybe, you can have a life. I doubt it, though. You're pretty stupid. You're pretty stupid, man. You have just, you've made nothing but mistake after mistake after mistake. And why is this? Because I've rejected you sexually.
God, man, you're going to make this guy...
I'm telling you. What else is it? I've never seen anything like it before in my life. The guy is a freak, man. You know, and the one way of dealing with a guy like that, you either put him in jail, you better get, our close personal friend from Twitter, Phil the Thrill, you better go get this guy, Phil, because I'm telling you, if I see him anywhere near me, I'm going to straighten those buck teeth of his. I tell you what I'll do, I'll just knock him out of his face. That way they won't be buck teeth anymore. You can go and get yourself a new set of teeth, man. You need them. Believe me.
So the guy's got the Bucky Beaver?
Yeah, he does. And like most of those guys, those psychopaths, even though he's got a kisser on him that makes him look like he could eat corn on the cob at arm's length through a picket fence, this guy thinks he's God's gift to women, I think. He hates women. Can't stand them. And he wants to be me. He's got all these multiple personalities on Twitter, and he doesn't really know how to do it. And, you know, you can tell they're all the same. Talking about writing bits. Dude, just go back to your job making maps, okay? Writing bits. What is it? We're living in a world, you know, somebody said the other day, says everybody's a comedian. No, really, everybody's a comedian.
Well, everyone likes to be in show business.
Well, not everybody can be in show business. There's people who are in show business, like me, because this is what I'm supposed to do. Then there's people like this moron that should be doing the moron stuff that he does, and instead he wants to, you know...
Wants to be your wife.
Among other things, yeah. All right, Jay Sam is going to join us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Kind of an interesting thing that we're going to be talking with Jay about, and that is the this drone situation. I don't know whether or not you guys have been hearing this or not, hearing the news, but the United States government, in the person of the president and the executive branch, has basically said that they're going to use drones, and those are those unarmed, not unarmed, excuse me, they are automated, if you will, robot devices, mostly flying planes, that go into small areas, into places where you might not be able to navigate a larger aircraft, and with a variety of weaponry at the disposal of the operator, can neutralize whatever the target. They can, I think they can pack some kind of explosive. I think there's the ability to actually fire rounds. Maybe they have some mounted or built-in machine guns. With us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, Jay, there's some question as to the efficacy, not so much the efficacy, but the legality of these things.
Well, you just use, when you say the efficacy, and hold on, I just want to check if that's a word. My wife's going to check. Why don't you call up your mother? Well, find out whether that's a word, Phil, that people use. If it's a word that everybody uses, then I'm going to have to pretend like I, you know, didn't hear you. If it's a word that people don't use, then we'll go ahead and look it up. What's that?
What are you talking about?
She don't know. Yeah, we don't know what that is. What's efficacy?
Effectiveness. Effective. Is it effective?
All right. First of all, the drone program, I don't even know what you were saying.
All right, Jay, I tell you what, you just go ahead and talk about the drone program as it applies to the civilian populace of the United States, as it applies to police efforts against terrorists. What do you think of that? As a citizen's auxiliary police officer, you're not really a sworn police officer. You're more of a volunteer group. How is this going to be dealt with by you?
Well, the first thing is we're going to have to do something about people on the radio that keep saying to us that we're a volunteer. That makes it sound like kind of rubber bullet cop. I think we're a little bit more than a rubber bullet cop, Phil. I think we're a community resource that's very interested in, you know, doing the very best that we can for our community and help the police take a look around and take a little peek around. And for that, what we do is we then take a look at what the police is using. And the drone, we think, is a very good aid. We think it's a very good asset. And if you've been around military operation, if you have been around the wars that they had on TV, like when they had on the Gulf War, and they also had some TV pictures of the Iraq War, the word asset is one that is used, and it means, you know, stuff they've got, you know.
Well, yeah, asset is, yeah, it's part of the arsenal.
Yeah, I don't know what arsenal is.
Well, Jay, you don't know the meaning of some of these. This is Margaret. You don't know the meaning of some of these words?
Yes, I know. I know what a gun is.
Arsenal is where weapons are stored. Efficacy is whether it's effective. I don't know what you want me to say.
Well, what I'd like you to do, Mr. Hammer, is let's talk turkey, okay? Let's talk turkey. Let's talk reality. Now, I know that you are want to talk about the drone, and you want to ask whether I, as a Citizens Auxiliary Police member, backs the drone, and I do. Would we use it with the Citizens Auxiliary Police? Yes, we would. It's one of the most valuable law enforcement tools that we could possibly have. So let's just cut through it and kind of trim around the bull crap and cut right down through it into it and get around it and go through it. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, and you've just got done saying to me that you believe in it.
Yeah, I believe in the drone program, and I believe in it for a number of reasons. Number one, you can negotiate small, tight areas. Now, when you're talking about a home with a very narrow margin between one wall of the home and another wall of another home, and there may be individuals inside the rooms of those homes that are parading in front of the windows. We've had these situations where the women, when their husbands is out of town, and the women want to get their cheap thrills and get their, you know, jollies off, and they walk in front of the window, and they're not, you know, there's no brassiere. There is no evidence of any brassiere. And so what we do is we called our helmet cam. You made fun of it. Other people made fun of it.
Yeah, I made fun of it because you had on a construction helmet and you said you scotch taped a camera.
I didn't say scotch tape.
Now, that's true. He did say masking. Did you say masking tape?
I said, but we taped it. Probably used, you know, packing tape.
Yeah, this is what you used, that gray packing tape?
Yeah.
Okay, so you used packing tape to tie the camera to the helmet.
Yeah, but we used the tape so that it looked like the Citizens Auxiliary Police insignia, which is a gray stripe. So we have a gray racing stripe on our helmets. And when we go out on a pith helmet, you know about a pith helmet, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What's wrong, Jay?
He goes, yeah. He went, yeah.
Phil,
Will you stop? Jay, I didn't mean to offend you.
Well, I'm trying to get to the bottom of what you want me to get to my bottom. Not get to my bottom, but you want me to get to the bottom of it, right?
Yeah, get to the bottom of it.
Get to the bottom of what?
Get to the bottom of what we're...
Well, you're confusing him and you're frightening him.
Yeah, he's getting scared.
What is he, 6 years old or something, Jay? Tell me about the drones. You like them. You say they can get into tight spaces. You were telling me that there are people... All right, so we're talking about exhibitionists, right?
We're talking about exhibitionists. We're also talking about something that's very real. When not just a woman whose husband's out of town, she decides she wants to get a jolly, wants to go get her Jolly Rancher. That's what we call, you know, it's a JR. And generally a JR means we have to release four officers to a JR. And
what's a JR?
He just said she's getting her jollies. They call it a Jolly Rancher.
It's called Jolly Rancher. Okay?
Yeah, that's great.
All right, and what was with the pause?
Don't worry about it. It's great. Go ahead.
All right, so when we send the officers out, we want to have every capability. We want to have every asset at our disposal. And the drone, which can be operated from the automobile. So the drone takes off the way that we would use it. The drone will take off from the trunk of the car. And generally, my car is a regular sedan. The subcommanders drive their wives, well, I shouldn't say their wives, but they drive SUVs and Broncos and everything like that, and a Bronchette and like that.
Okay, all right, so they have these SUVs.
Right, and they have the sign that says, I drive a sedan. Well, the drone is released from the way I envision it is I push a button, and the drone's released from the trunk of the car, and I use the rheostat to direct it to the bedroom window and to hover at the window and take a variety of pictures while being not seen.
All right, how do you fly something from the trunk of your car over to the window where the woman is standing nude and not have it be seen?
Well, I think that's pretty easy. I mean, it's not really the hardest thing in the world to do. Mr. Henry, what you do is you flip down the... you open the secret door and...
What secret door?
Well, you're going to put a secret door into the dash of the car. I forgot to tell you.
The door is secret. Why?
Because if my wife's using the car, I don't want her and her girlfriend's fooling around with it.
Don't you take the drone out of the trunk?
Yes, but there are days I might forget if I fall asleep or if I pass out in the car. You know, we go out and have some beers. Haven't you ever passed out?
So you go out and have some beers.
But Mr. Henry...
No, hold on. You go out and have beers and pass out in the car and your wife gets the car?
Well, she's going to roll me out of the car. I mean, how many of us on a Saturday morning has not had your wife roll you out of the car? Of course you do. And you didn't have time to secure the drone.
Phil, don't look at me like I'm crazy. Jay is saying some very important things here.
Oh, will you give me a break?
Well, what?
Jay, you pass out dead drunk in the car. First of all, I've never passed out so dead drunk that my wife had to roll me out of the car in the morning. That's number one. But number two, what... Secure what drone? I mean, dude, don't you have a process whereby when you're done using these automobiles for their express purposes that you secure all this stuff?
Yes, I just got done telling you. What happens if we go out for the subcommander awards? What happens if we go out for subcommander of the week?
What's subcommander of the week?
That's an award we give to subcommander of the week. I'm going to go there in my staff car. All right, do I take the flags off of the front of the car? Do I secure the drone? No.
The flags, huh? So you're sailing...
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm taking the humiliation. I can take anything you dish out. I'm twice the man you are.
That's from Thin Red Line.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It is.
Okay, great. So you are sailing through town with the flags flying there.
My God, Phil, do you ever reach the end of an interview?
Margaret, you should just not say anything.
Phil.
You should just not say a word. Don't say anything. Jay set himself up for that. You want to come on like a jackass, you're going to come on like a jackass. This guy is sitting here telling me all about flags flying, the drones in the trunk of the car. He's going to release it and fly it over to the bedroom window. Oh.
Man, that was pretty screwy, I'll tell you that.
Well, maybe I'm missing something.
Yes, you're missing a hell of a lot. I don't even think you're listening to this guy. It is not feasible. It's something out of the Jetsons. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And the government, or whoever sells these things, no way in hell, well, I shouldn't say never. I guess, you know, it could happen. No way in hell, though, in my opinion, do they allow one of these things to fall into the hands of some jackass with a citizen's auxiliary police. You know, you can get somebody killed. And he's going to fly it like what does he think he's got here, man? One of those, what are those things, bud, you know?
Yeah, they got a remote control airplane and everything with a people fly.
I've seen those. That's no secret.
Okay, well, that's what he thinks he's got. And it's not. It's heavier, it's bigger, and it's deadly.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're a woman that walks in front of a window and you've got everything hanging out...
You deserve to die?
No. But you do deserve to have the hell scared out of you, I think.
All right. We'll be right back here, and what a fascinating conversation that was. Thank you very much, Jay. Wherever you are, it seems to me that you're probably hiding your head under a pillow right now. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Trouble.
I'm just... Oh, come on. I mean, he's a rough, tough guy. You tell me that's scaring him, man? You're not scared, are you, man? You're okay. He's not scared. He's a rough, tough guy. Well, I mean, he's trying to make people believe he is with all of those military credentials, huh? You know, that's why I've always believed that any guy in the military that touts his wartime experience... In other words, any guy in the military that taught, like there was that guy on Facebook. You remember that guy?
Yeah, he had his little helmet on.
Yeah. And he was going on and on and on about his Iraq war experience. And he's talking to a whole bunch of civilians on Facebook, you know. I mean, he's not even talking to other military guys for all he knows. He's just talking to a bunch of us. And we're just like, it was before the election. And we're all just, gee, I don't know, you know, and talking about it. And this dude comes, you know, waltzing in, Mr. Military. And he's got a picture of himself in the tank. And, you know, I respect our veterans immensely. I don't respect the ones that go off and start making all, you know, start telling their stories of combat and they saw this and they did that and they killed this and they killed that. I mean, I said to the guy finally, I said, every real veteran I know doesn't even want to go in there talking about this stuff. Or if they do, they talk about it with other vets. There's a specific reason for, you know, it's like, or they're asked and maybe reluctantly they tell you. But I've rarely ever met a veteran that just comes right out and starts volunteering all of this stuff, unless he's talking to a family member.
Well, I mean, now you're making more and more reasons why you're here.
Yes. You said you never met a vet, but now you said, well, unless he's...
In other words, not for public consumption, putting it on blast on Facebook is what I'm saying.
All right.
Any guy that starts, yeah, it's like the guy at the party. We've all met him. We've all met the drunk. Who said, listen, I can't say anything, but I got CIA connections. Oh, well, you know.
You don't believe them?
No, I don't believe them. Do you?
How do you know? Maybe they do.
Are you going to believe a guy saying he's in the CIA just because he said it?
No. But.
But what?
The guy.
I met a guy one time, and I don't know, it was right after 9/11. We were at a party, and this guy was Mr. Authority. And he said the following thing. He said, they got nuclear weapons. You better believe it. You better believe that Bin Laden and these people have got nuclear weapons. And I said, nah, I don't think so. I don't think they do. I think they want us to believe that. Well, he turned and he looked at me like a lot of these, you know, kind of megalomaniacs. And he just looked at like, who is this infidel? You know, who's this guy that dare challenge me? And I was just sitting there with my, you know, drink. And I said, I don't think that they have nuclear weapons. I think that they would like to get their hands on them. No. And the guy turned on me and he's like, I happen to know, you know.
Oh, is that when he told you that he was in the CIA?
Well, he said, I happen to know because I've got connect. Let me tell you something, you know. They got him because I happen to know, and I got connections to, you know, all right, let me just tell you, CIA, you know, he said it in some way that was just like, I'd be embarrassed if I were him. And I shook my head, got up and, you know, and went outside and kicked a cat. No, I didn't. I didn't listen to it, you know.
Yeah, but what if the guy is?
Man, but you believe anybody in the CIA if they say they're in the CIA.
No guy is going to tell you he's in the CIA, man. No guy is going to say that. Why would he do that? Why would a guy, you know, if a guy's got this kind of secretive work, why would he do that?
Didn't you tell me there's people who work at the CIA all the time?
Yeah. So? They're not going to, the CIA has got a guy, the CIA uses all kinds of people. They use anybody. They use a citizen that's on, they'll use an American citizen who's traveling to Europe, let's say. And they'll approach the guy if they're going to say, you know, would you mind taking a look at some of these boxes and tell us what the return address is on them? Would you mind this? It could be...
Does that make them a CIA agent?
No, it doesn't make them a CIA agent. It makes them an informant of sorts, if they agree to do it. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the final hour here, and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.